Hello, and thank you for listening to this episode of In Psychedelia. One of the core points that a journalist learns, like most people who write something for others, is that the first few words, the beginning, is the most important to captivate the viewer, listener, or reader. Although often we hear that one should not judge a book by its cover, there is so much information in the world for our brains to digest that it is inevitable that one must judge a book by its cover, so to say, in order to make their best use of time and energy. Using a collaboration of this fact and some other aggregated social data on cultural norms of a time, a journalist can learn, whether consciously or subconsciously, that a more provocative or sensational headline will drag in more people. Here it becomes a little tricky. Because how can an observer possibly quantify the aggregated social data on cultural norms when much of this is informal data based on cumulative and causative interactions with all other humans within communicative distance, whether it be through phone, internet, or direct personal interaction? This is my challenge. I was recently quoted in the Sydney Morning Herald in an article on LSD. The journalist, Peter Munro, had my contact details still from a discussion we had several years ago for an article on what were at the time legal highs. The current article in the Sydney Morning Herald is provocatively entitled, "A New Generation Takes the Acid Test," a reference to the Grateful Dead concert series in which LSD was handed out to patrons, although I get the feeling that Munro was perhaps aiming more at the "drugs are risky, therefore you shouldn't take them" side of the argument. The article is also subtitled, "Use of hallucinogens is on the rise, worrying experts." Worrying experts. Run for the hills! The YOLO generation are getting on the acid and don't care about tomorrow, and all the experts really worried! The experts, from what I can ascertain from this article, are the Director of Drug and Alcohol Research Training in Australia, Paul Dillon, Director of the St. Vincent Hospital Emergency Department, Dr. Gordian Fould, who you may remember from an earlier episode of In Psychedelia for claiming that ayahuasca causes brain damage, and the New South Wales Drug Squad Intelligence Manager, Claire Ricards. Dillon does not indicate concern, as the article title suggests, other than quoting one young teenager who said that, "We are the YOLO generation," a reference meaning you only live once, that apparently has become the ethos of people I have never met or seen, but which is a point that obviously appeals to journalist Munro, as he uses this young kid's throwaway comment to generalise an entire generation and group of people. Dr. Fould indicates concern over hallucinogens, noting that you can walk in front of cars or off buildings. Dare I suggest that an emergency room manager approaching the media with ridiculous, unfounded, and naive scare messages does nothing useful for anyone, and his time may be better spent elsewhere? Perhaps reading some science or speaking to some non-journalist-type people every now and then? Maybe people who know what they're talking about? Ricard's comments are the most indicative that perhaps Munro has slightly exaggerated his point for another piece of tired, unintelligent drug rhetoric. Ricards notes that police detections of hallucinogens are up from 95 in 2008 to 175 last year. She then goes on to say that this may be due to better record keeping and that it is, and I quote, "very, very small problem." So out of three experts, only one had any evidence of need for concern, and she dismissed it as potentially a statistical anomaly, and most certainly not a big problem. Please read the article yourself and take what you will from it. There is a link at inpsychedelia.podomatic.com. Now, as disappointed as I am that Munro took a tired angle from the book of rhetoric-driven news and employed some heavy quote mining to fill a template rather than really listen to his interviewees and let them tell the story, I am not put off speaking to mainstream media. One thing you have to understand is that illegal drugs still have an incredible amount of taboo. I know, right? Taboo breeds myth, ignorance, and irrational fear. If someone doesn't know about a topic, they will resort to their framework of fear and prejudice in order to ignore and demonise the topic in line with the taboo. And it's not entirely the individual's fault. But it is our fault if we then become defensive and decide not to talk to the people that need a reasoned discussion most. I believe that through discussing things politely and passionately, and most importantly, sharing our own stories, we better help each other to understand. The jigsaw puzzle doesn't fit together if you all hide your pieces away. To contribute to our discussion and share your artistic works, thoughts, rants, or academic pursuits, head to encycadelia.podomatic.com and get in contact with me. In this episode, we'll be hearing music from Alex, Asiro the Erudite, and Mortisville. Josh Buckle performs a poetry piece, and I caught up with Greg Catherick at Origins of Consciousness in Melbourne, a man who plans to begin a public hunger strike in Melbourne's CBD in order to bring attention to his desire to use transcendental compounds as part of his religious practice. First up, the young but talented Asiro the Erudite with Chronicles of the Mind Melt.
Ready?
I've come to find this realm through dimethyltryptamine around 45 or so times. It's shown me and left me with many revelations. One, for instance, is that this realm we live in now, the physical, it was created from it. From what you might ask, our minds. And we are all connected.
This is cynical me speaking optimistically, because the cycle in which we be confuses me. Yet between the seams, hope gleams. There's so much to say and so much has been said, so this up-and-comer will commence his own comments and spit one for the common unity. Come on, you can see the community is in need of healing and immunity from the Sim City scenery we see ceaselessly. Let those who control our consciousness, or those profiting off this mess at everyone's expense, get their comeuppance. We gotta get off the tough at whether eating curds and whey or silver spoon fed, cause the rivers run red with all our blood, tears and sweat. But this has all already been said. Welcome to this, the season of our discontent. When we can't afford our homes, hope you can find a discount tent. Cynical, yes, but this conscience is conscious. I'm past tense and hence I'm continuing to greener pastures just to be content. For this continent has lost itself to continents, from holding back its shit, conned and spent with the content continually. Like applying condiments to counter commonplace cuisine, commonly called countenance hide impenetrable dreams. Even concinity is considered counterculture. We're conciliatory and penitentiaries, it seems, circled by the vulture's high beams. My apologies. This mental mulch has become obscene, not to mention the vocabulary, someone mumbled from the mob team. Lately, I've been feeding my brain out in forests. For rest and mental sustenance, I attest, I'm on a quest. Humbled is me with all you dreamers of dreams. See, drained and demeaned were we the weary with dreary demeanor. Dear me, it was almost dearly deceiving. Believe me, I myself was disheveled. But no more need to dissemble. This semblance will not advance me. I will endeavor to sever from insanity. Seven heavens awaits me. Fate has tempted me to speak what I see. So this declarant rants in honor of our somber trance. But the ambivalence that resides high over common sense must end. Our silence to the violence, the denial of our brilliance. But I felt it too, I won't lie. I felt dismembered from the burning ember in the sky to the point I want to hide, and I did. I hid for so long. But now I want to fly in the night. A fly night play fighting with kites. A light right exactly where I want to take my life. That'd be alright. Shake the plight, apply myself right, up high, myself's light, like high elves. On shelves, I lack delight, lackluster, luckless and full of fright. Fuck that for a joke, that ain't my plight. I'm more of a map light, a lighthouse, that's my life. A cartographer, a graphic fucking calculator. A grappling hook that you can use to move yourself right. But don't abuse that, this light that soothes will burn bright, then burn out. This routine we call life. The route to cold eyes is to ignore your roots and to focus on the lines that lie on your face like wrinkled love letters left to time, or plants left to die. We all plan to retire to dust, dirt and grit in the bland sands of time. Yet the blanched hands that climb through parched lands do find the fine and divine. It always aligns with a mind that searches sublime, and it's worth it. This earth is the birthplace of our learning, so go digging for your wisdom. Get dirt under your fingernails. Figure out pi and phi, hell, figure out the square root of five. Just climb trees, metaphorically, so you can see more than you can see. Elated self, enlighten the frightened self. Delight the populace to reprise the simple pleasure of being alive. A life is no lie, you're here until you leave. That takes no belief, be life or be grief. Brief though our sojourn, it's not too late to U-turn. When you turn to utopia, you burn brighter than suns. Leave this dystopia, enter our aria of the real, and euphoria you will feel.
In July 1965, 191 million miles from Earth. Big one. On time for its historic 228-day journey to Mars. Crucial flyby approached. A 3-day orbit.
Mortisville with a Woohoo Review remix, The Goose. Mortisville is another of the acts who performed alongside The Mollusk for the release of his album Nautilus. Mortisville has been bringing electro swing to Melbourne and will be releasing a Woohoo Review electronic remix album early next year. Head to encycadelia.podomatic.com for more details on Mortisville. Drugs, hallucinogens, psychedelics, entheogens, empathogens, psychoactive substances, transcendental compounds, dope. The words that are used to discuss things that alter your brain chemistry go on and on and on. Greg Kasarik chooses the phrase transcendental compounds when speaking of his chosen selection of things. Whether you like this phrase or not, it seems from the so far limited research, such as the Johns Hopkins University study, that certain substances, specifically the fungal compound psilocybin, can elicit a mystical experience, creating long-lasting positive personality effects. Greg uses these things for exactly that reason, and considers it integral to practicing his dogma-free, non-invasive religion. So why does the Australian government consider Greg a criminal, worthy of a hefty fine, criminal record, and potential jail time? We catch up with Greg shortly to speak about his decision to go on a hunger strike in Melbourne's CBD regarding this issue. This is Alex with a collaborative sound art piece, Spiral Nonsense.
I'm standing in the middle of a white field full of onion weed. It's the smell of primary school. Probably be the taste of it too if I decided to eat some, but I'm not gonna do that. I learnt my lessons when I was 7. A couple of big kangaroos around us watching, standing by. Hello!
Fractally?
Hello!
I almost saw a rainbow up there.
Yeah, it's just no fun.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's true. Totally,
making sure that
income.
It's not hard to explain, but when you're in the MGMT, you can see it.
Yeah.
An interesting tree.
Yeah. I think those are little flash glowing things. Looks like it's dead down the bottom, but like, just like, fuck it, just put all the power into the top.
That's kind of like the 3D thing I was talking about before, where...
Yeah. It's just very... Yeah. It feels like an extra part. It's getting colder now. I suppose we should walk back home for eventually.
This is in Psychedelia, and we're recording live from Origins of Consciousness, the Melbourne step of the tour. The first day, the lecture day, has just finished, workshop tomorrow, and I'm sitting here with a man named Greg. Around the world, various plants and substances have been used by cultures going back to the dawn of humanity to experience altered consciousness and often divine experience. Today, Western governments narrowly define and understand these plants and substances as generally bad. In fact, most of the plants and substances humans have used for divine revelation, transcendence, or spiritual exploration for millennia safely are considered, under Australian drug scheduling, to be, and I quote from the schedule, substances which may be abused or misused. The schedule is vague and gives no room for use outside of a rigidly controlled Commonwealth-approved regime. Greg Kasarik has completed 2 degrees in arts and science and has been pursuing counselling and community support work in recent times. Greg is also a self-described mystic and uses what he calls transcendent compounds for his own religious practice. On his website, kasarik.com, he details his thoughts and beliefs. Although Greg is not bringing harm to anyone else and is in fact working to personally enrich his life, he is breaking the law every time he introduces a transcendent compound or drug of dependence, according to Victorian law, into his body. On November 14th, Greg, who has contacted politicians, media, and police regarding his use and continued desire to use these substances, will begin a hunger strike in the Melbourne City Bourke Street Mall. Greg, welcome to In Psychedelia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So, transcendent compounds, just to clear up this term, okay. Could you specify?
Look, this is a term that I coined myself because I wasn't particularly happy with the other ones out there. And effectively, a transcendent compound is an entheogen, so it's one of those that most of us are aware of that allow you to connect with the divine. But it's also an entheogen that's non-addictive, non-toxic, and is psychologically safe in appropriate dose, set and setting. So the transcendent compounds that we're normally familiar are the ones that are the mainstream of the entheogenic community, your mescaline, psilocybin, LSD, and DMT and the ayahuasca. Ones that are excluded, cannabis and things like ketamine.
What are some of your sort of primary experiences that you've had with transcendent compounds? Are there any that particularly stand out?
Oh, look, there are lots that stand out. But to be honest, as anyone who's ever experienced a mystical state will tell you, it's impossible to describe, okay? And, I mean, look, you know, the things, you know, the clearest way, I suppose, of describing in broad terms is transcendent mystical states. So feelings of connection with the divine, feelings of timelessness. I mean, for example, one time when, I felt time just totally stop and I saw myself as an eternal being throughout time, and how various decisions I had made had orientated myself to be who I am today and the life that I'm leading today.
So how do you feel that those kind of experiences help you in your everyday life?
Look, that's a very good question. How it helps me is it's to do with questions of meaning. It's to do with allowing me to figure out how the universe may operate. And I think one of the things that was interesting, got mentioned a number of times today, was what I call the uncertainty principle, which is the first of my own principles.
Which you can find at kasarik.com. We'll put a link on the encyclopedia.podomatic.com website later.
Cool, thank you. But basically, the uncertainty principle says you can never know what the hell's going on. So the idea for any person isn't to believe what I believe. And I think it's actually abhorrent for me to be trying to tell other people to believe what I believe. The idea is for people to be figuring it out for themselves. And the good thing about these compounds is that they do a very good job of allowing you to think outside the square. In particular, I'm fascinated by mathematics. I'm not actually a mathematician at all myself, but I spend a lot of time contemplating the infinite, because I think you can't understand the divine unless you understand the infinite. And these compounds allow me to connect in a very real sense with concepts that are infinite in nature, and I can't describe them in reality, let alone mathematically. But basically the compounds allow me to step outside myself and to run with concepts and run with ideas.
So it sounds like it's sort of helping you to give yourself context. I mean, philosophers since forever, or thinking types, or anyone since forever has been trying to figure out what the human is, what the world is, what reality is, and it's helping you to sort of form a connective basis for that, a framework.
Look, very much so. And, I mean, you mentioned philosophy, and one of the majors that I did in that arts degree that you mentioned is actually philosophy. And so I'm coming from a background of Western philosophy, but also a background of Western religion as well. And one of the things I find fascinating as well is that, I'll read something from one of the Eastern traditions and it'll pretty much match up with things that I've come out with myself through my own mystical experiences. And to me, that's incredible validation. These compounds allow you to think about things, to get context, and to figure the world out for yourself in a way that you can't do otherwise outside of lots of meditation and mystical experience gained some other way.
So November 14th is when the hunger strike kicks off. Can you sort of detail the legal side of this relating to practicing of religion? Because I understand there's a bit of an argument there that you've got.
Look, just to provide a bit of context, I suppose, I went public about my use of these compounds 2 years ago. 18 months ago, I contacted all the federal members of parliament and all the Victorian state members of parliament, and a couple of dozen media figures and others, and even the chief commissioner of the federal police, and basically said, I use these compounds and I do so for religious and cultural purposes. The main offshoot of that was that I just got ignored. And that's pretty much where I've been for the last 18 months. And people might be a bit surprised to hear that I actually contacted members of the parliament and I haven't been arrested, I haven't been interviewed by police. And I came out and I said I use these compounds and I reserve the right to use these compounds, and I also reserve the right to introduce other people into the use of these compounds. Now, imagine...
It's very subversive of you.
Very subversive, but imagine what happened if I did the same with heroin. My feet wouldn't have touched the ground before I was in an interview room in a police station somewhere. So the police and the government obviously know that they can't just arrest me and do that. And the reason I think that is because of what is called the Victorian Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act 2006. Now, Section 14 of that Act gives the right to religious freedom. full right to religious freedom. So basically you have the right to believe what you want to believe and the right to practice in a way to bring those beliefs to life. And that's both as an individual and as a community. Section 7 of the Charter basically says that the Victorian government can't impinge upon those rights without a valid reason. Now, in my initial conversations with the government, they referred me to the health department, and the health department said, "Oh, health and safety, community health and safety." And I basically wrote back and said, "Which part of non-addictive, non-toxic and psychologically safe do you not understand?" At that point was sort of like where they started ignoring me again.
Right.
Okay. So the reality is that we do in Victoria have religious right, freedom, and furthermore, the government has to respect that. And the fact is that a compound that's non-addictive, non-toxic and psychologically safe compares incredibly well to alcohol. Now, if we look at alcohol, it's so addictive that, you know, it ruins all sorts of people's lives. It's so toxic, it's a disinfectant. And it's so psychologically dangerous that you can't walk down the street at night without fear of being mugged by someone who's drunk. Mm. You know, so if you look at the current state of what's accepted by the community, i.e. alcohol, it's way more dangerous than the transcendent compounds.
Yeah.
Okay, so effectively the government, you know, if the government wanted to take it to court, they'd have a lot of difficulty in arguing based on Section 7, because basically they could say community health and safety, but I'd be saying, well, hang on, no, they're in, you know, A, I'm not asking for legalisation across the board, so I'm not asking for recreational access. I'm asking for regulated access for religious and spiritual purposes. Yeah, so basically the limit, you know, what I'm asking or arguing for is quite limited. But as I said, also the current state of play is that alcohol is way more dangerous and is way more legal.
Absolutely. So why a hunger strike? What's led you to a hunger strike, and why is that the next step?
It's sort of like, what do you do when you're being ignored? Now, I could throw a tantrum. but that's not really going to do anyone any good. And look, the reality is that I would like to... There are other things I'd rather do than a hunger strike, but the hunger strike is something that can be done cheaply and effectively, and hunger strikes get attention. And what I'm about is raising awareness. Even if the government ignores me and the media ignore me, I can at least spend 35 days talking to people in the Bourke Street Mall, getting the case out there. But it's also about mobilising the people who use these compounds normally. So, you know, one of the things that I find very disappointing is that there's not a lot of people like me who are actually out there contacting the government and, you know, making a fuss. You know, I speak to people every day who say, yeah, I'd love these compounds to be legal, but as soon as you ask them, what are you doing? The answer is nothing. Why aren't you doing anything? Well, because I'm too scared to. So what I hope to do is sort of, you know, get out there and sort of hopefully inspire a few people to do something, a few people to act, and a few people to actually, you know, mobilise in order to motivate the government to do what they need to do, and that is make these compounds legally safe.
You're listening to In Psychedelia. We're recording live from Origins of Consciousness at Melbourne University. The day's just finished up, and we're chatting to Greg Kasrick, who will be starting a hunger strike on November 14th in the Bourke Street Mall. Now, you've touched on why you're doing it. You've touched on the legal argument. When you were talking about the legal argument, I was sort of curious on something. I was going to ask you, what do you think of those who frame their chosen substance use in terms of recreational hedonism? They're not necessarily doing it for transcendence or something, but they enjoy it and they still do it safely. What do you say to those sorts of people? Or are you not really arguing for that at all?
Look, I'm not arguing for that, okay? That's a very different argument. That's a very different context, okay? Look, and I'll freely admit that what I'm doing in a lot of respects is tactical, okay? Yes, mainly my use is spiritual and religious, but I certainly don't have anything against the recreational use of these compounds, and certainly I think you know, we do ourselves a really big disservice as a country and as a state and, you know, around the world by having the only legal drug for mind-altering, also the most dangerous drug for mind-altering, okay? You know, it's just absolutely stupid. You know, so the reality is that these compounds are used recreationally and they're used safely recreationally, except for ayahuasca, DMT. I really don't see someone using that recreationally. And to be honest, I think if you tried to use it recreationally, ayahuasca would take you where she wanted to take you and you'd be left going, well, that was an interesting experience. But, you know, in terms of, you know, the mushrooms and the acid and, well, mescaline probably not so much because of nausea, but certainly the mushrooms and the acid. I see no reason why they shouldn't be legal. Same with cannabis. I see no reason why it shouldn't be legal. But that's a conversation for a different day.
Yep. We're touching on bigger issues if we go into that. Now, just before we finish up, let's go into a bit of the details on the hunger strike because it's going to be a lengthy one. You mentioned 35 days.
I think it's 35 days.
You're going to need some support along the way as well. So can you tell us where you're going to be, what kind of support that you would need during the hunger strike and anything else that people can do to help you or find out more if they're interested?
Look, okay, the sort of support I'm going to need, pretty much anything you can imagine, okay?
At the end, except food.
Except food, yes. You're certainly correct there. No food, okay. Look, there's a lot of things that I'm not very well equipped to do. You know, I'm a mystic. I tend to have my heads in the cloud. I'm very disorganized. So effectively, there's a lot of, you know, even, you know, media kind of stuff. I mean, you know, say, I mean, the stuff that you're doing for me here in terms of just this, you know, helping with this podcast, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, there's, you know, my website could, you know, do a bit of use, you know, all sorts of things. You know, if someone can think of something that might need to be done, then it probably needs to be done. And I don't have experience in this sort of stuff. You know, I'm not an activist by nature. I've never been involved in activist type causes before. This is totally new to me. So when it comes to a lot of the basic stuff, there's probably an absolute bucket load that I should know or should be doing, but I'm not.
So November 14th is when you start. Do you have a particular time that people can maybe come down and help you start a hunger strike?
Yeah, look, I mean, actually, on that first day, I wouldn't mind a number of people coming down. The idea at this stage, and everything's open to change, the idea at this stage is that at midday, I'll have a Last Supper, and very spiritual concept, that one, and that will contain mushrooms. You know, having people down there as well, just to hand out flyers and to sort of promote what's going on for the afternoon. And, you know, and again, you know, it's going to be a pretty boring 35 days. So, you know, having people come down and talking and, again, you know, that moral support and things like that. And I hate saying it, but also financial support as well. You know, reality is that I'm going to have a very hard time staying on the unemployment benefit during a hunger strike. They're going to say, how are you looking for work while you're sitting in the middle of the Bourke Street Mall? My theory is, well, the government are the ones who have infringed upon my rights and made it almost impossible for me to find work in my, you know, in the counselling field. So they should pay for me while I'm doing it, but I don't think they'll see it that way.
Probably not.
So I mean, you know, financial support, you know, so I can pay my rent and bills and other bits and pieces would be, you know, again, would be appreciated.
So financial and emotional support and also just informative support. Get the message out there. We'll be following your journey on the podcast on In Psychedelia. Greg, I plan on coming down and having a chat with you as much as I can. And thank you for joining us on the podcast and good luck. You're a brave man.
Oh, thank you very much. And look, to be honest with you, if I could find a way to get out of it, I probably would, but at this particular point, that's looking very unlikely. Look, at the moment, if people want to write into Ted Ballew and write into your local member, you know, put the case forward, you know, make it clear that it's just not me sitting there, not just me starving myself, that there's actually more people out there, because frankly, without everyone else's support, I'm just going to be some idiot starving myself in the middle of the walkway. But with support, you know, I'll be the vanguard of something much, much broader.
Thank you for listening to this episode of In Psychedelia. If you are an artist of some sort, enjoy the spoken word, enjoy a rant, have a comment, however short or long, like to argue, have a contrary point of view, or an experience you'd like to share, get in contact with us at inpsychedelia.podomatic.com. That website is also where you will find details of all the contributors to this episode, who I would like to thank very much for their talents, efforts, and contribution to this project. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Keep seeking knowledge and story.